this episode.
And the Dementors, and they're sucking the life out of both Harry and Sirius. You have to do something, Harry. He's going, no, Hermione. It's okay. It was him all along that had to cast the spell and not somebody else.
Look, you can't wait around for someone else to save you. You've got to save yourself. That's the big message, isn't it? If you're in a business meeting, how would you segue into a Harry Potter story?
It struck me like a bolt from the blue. You could introduce that by just saying, you know, sometimes we've just got to step up and make things happen. Let me give you an example.
Welcome to Anecdotally Speaking, a podcast to help you build your business story repertoire. Hi, everybody. I'm Sean Callahan.
And hey, everybody. I'm Mark Shank. And just a reminder about the format of these podcast episodes. Sean and I will share a business story. We'll talk about why it works and how to make it even better. And then we'll finish by talking about how you can use that story in a business context.
Yeah, because of course.
We also give it a bit of a rating.
Yeah, because we want to help you build up the stories you have in your back pocket, right? So this is what it's all about, listening to lots of stories and telling them. That's where it all happens, when you retell them. Okay, Mark, I believe you have a story for us.
I do.
Why don't you lay it on us?
We talk about stories. There's like three main buckets of stories, and there's your own stories. There's the stories that other people tell you, and which you're completely okay to use as long as you don't claim it as your own. And the third bucket is everything, right? The world, you know, books, magazines, research papers, and movies. And so I'm going to have a little snippet from a book that was made into a movie. So in the Harry Potter series, hopefully everybody's across Harry Potter. Yeah,
I'm sure they are, Mark. I think we can assume that's a well-known series.
Yes. All right. So I'll just go with it. So Harry Potter I think it's the third book, The Prisoner of Azkaban, he discovers that the prisoner, Sirius Black, is his uncle and is actually a really good guy. But they are in a bad situation. They're on the edge of a lake. Sirius is badly injured and Harry is by his side. And the Dementors, who are, you know, kind of bad spirits, you know, like, come on, and they're sucking the life out of both Harry and Sirius, and they're gradually drawing out their energy, and they are just dying. And Harry is, you know, he's aware of what's going on, and he's, you know, the life's being sucked out of him, and as he's right on the edge, he's about to die, he sees a light on the far side of the lake, and this spell is cast and the Dementors scattered, and he and Sirius are saved. That's, you know, that's all very good. A little while later in the book and the movie, it turns out that it's Harry Potter who is watching himself die, because Hermione, his friend, has got a thing called a time turner. So they've gone back in time. And so Harry and Hermione are watching this play out.
Right.
So Harry's looking across the lake and he sees Sirius Black laying prostrate on the ground and Harry next to him, and the life is being sucked out of them. And Hermione's going, Harry, you have to do something. You're going to die. And Harry's like, no, we're fine. Somebody's going to come, because, you know, they're going to come and they're going to cast a spell. And the life's being sucked out of them. It's getting more and more critical. And Hermione's going, Harry. He's going, no, it's fine. And she's like, you have to do something, Harry. And he's going, no, Hermione, it's okay. I don't have to do anything. Like, somebody's going to come and they're going to cast this spell. And he realizes, like, they're on the verge of death. He's about to die, the Harry Potter across the lake. And he realizes, it's me. I'm the one who has to do something. No one's coming. If this is going to be done, and he steps forward and he casts this really powerful spell called the Patronus, and the Dementors scatter, and he kind of realized that it was him all along that had to cast the spell and not somebody else.
Excellent. I remember that. My daughters are heavily into Harry Potter. I read all the books, so that was a memorable sort of scene, if you like, in the book and the movie. It's a good one, isn't it? It's very metaphorical, isn't it?
There's many layers to this.
Is this sort of really that idea of look, you can't wait around for someone else to save you. You got to save yourself. That's the big message, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about the business applications, but don't be waiting for someone else to come along and solve this. I'm thinking about just so many issues like climate change. Oh, no. Somebody will come along and fix it. Right? There'll be some miracle technology that will save us.
Right, right.
Well, we don't have to do anything, right? Somebody's going to come and...
Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of things in that story that make it a visual and effective story, right? I mean, for one thing, it's, as we said right at the front of the episode, it's a story or a character we all know, or many, many people know. Like even those people who would say they haven't read Harry Potter, they still know who Harry Potter is or know the gist of the story. So I think because of that, that makes the story, relatable, right, straight away.
Yep.
But also it's such a great visual scene, isn't it? You've got a lake, you've got a light being cast across the lake. Isn't it in the form of a horse or something like that?
A stag.
A stag, that's right. Yeah, we've got elks and stags in two episodes.
Yeah, well, that's right.
There's a theme going here. So all of that, I think, and sort of seeing the Dementors, I have an image of them being, sucking the life out of them. Yeah. So I think all of that is terrific, isn't it? It really gives that that image that you want. And I like the fact that you remembered a lot of the detail, like the name of the spell. It's a Patronus. These are sort of things. I tell you what, for the for the folk who really care about those things, I actually I don't know if you remember, but I went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire as a contestant. One of the questions was a Harry Potter question, and I had my two daughters in the audience, leaning forward like, come on, Dad, you got to know the answer to that question.
Do you remember what the question was?
Yeah, it was what was the name of Harry's owl? So that was the question.
Ah. And,
do you know the answer to that?
Okay. Oh, Hedwig. Okay. Hedwig.
Very good. Very good. You pass.
Yeah.
So from a visual imagery perspective, and the fact it's a nice tight story, it's not a particularly long story. I would guess that's a 90-second story that you would have told then.
In that order.
In terms of making it better story, I mean the only thing would be how you would tell it in a business setting. I'd be interesting to have a chat about how, I know this morphs into how do we talk about business use, but from a relevance statement, how do you get into this story? How, if you're in a business meeting, how would you segue into a Harry Potter story? I think people would find that interesting to have a think about.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll talk about that in business applications because of the way you introduce it, the way you segue to the story will depend on the point you're making. But I've got no problems with its use in the business context.
You just
need the appropriate segue.
I can't think of transition anything particularly to improve the story. So unless
I was conscious. I'm sure I described the Dementors and. And I thought, just bugger it, just go for it.
Yeah. I don't think you need to make it any more. You sort of talked about them being spirit-like, things. So I think that's all you're going to have to get an image of. I thought it was a nice tight telling of that scene. In fact, it's kind of two scenes, really, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
With a bit of a time-turner element in it. Yeah.
So... business applications.
Yeah, come on. Tell me how you would get into that story.
Well, I'd like to share why that story is on my radar.
Okay.
And we're running a Storytelling for Leaders program, and one of the kind of entry-level uses of story and the really amazingly cool uses of story is helping you build rapport and connection with other people. And so, revealing something about yourself builds rapport and connection. Well, one of the participants in a very recent Storytelling for Leaders program, he said, when I was 17 years old, I was having difficulty with the transition from boy to man, you know, teenager to man. And I basically thought the world owed me a living and that, you know, why should I do it? You know, why doesn't somebody do this stuff for me? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it was a bit of a troublemaker. Every year, my family had a holiday thing at New Year. We would all go up and spend 3 days at the lake and we would read a book, maybe two. So that was this big annual thing that we did. And this one year, 17 years old, and I took Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban, and I read this scene that I just described, and it struck me like a bolt from the blue that I was like, Harry, I'm going, no, somebody's going to come and blah, blah. And then I realized that my life, I had to do it. It was up to me. No one else was going to come and cast that spell. I had to step up. And if it was going to happen, I had to make my life happen. And he goes, that was a huge turning point for me. And so that's why that story is on my radar. So
yeah,
so that's just okay, one application.
It's a good connection story, isn't it?
It's so terrific.
A little bit of an insight into the person and what they're interested in, but also a nice turning point in his life, right?
Yep. Yep. And you know, it says a lot about his character. Firstly, that he's prepared to reveal that. And secondly, that he's the sort of guy that you're going to rely on because he's the one who will make it happen.
Yes, that's right. I think one of the things, the way I would introduce this story, if it wasn't sort of from a connection point, but more from a, I'm going to try to make a point so that you understand how we should move forward as a team or something like that, would literally just start off by sort of saying, hey guys, you know, one of the things I've learned is that we can't hang around hoping someone else is going to do this. You know, we've got to take, you know, the stag by the horn, right, and do it. And it kind of reminds me of that scene out of those two scenes out of Harry Potter, ..
Yep.
Right. And I think it would be memorable for people. It was probably not what they are expecting from a business leader in an organization. And it might have a lot of meaning for people because they might have gone through the same thing that I did with my kids, actually reading them that story. So they might have had that sort of second level connection to those books.
Yeah. And so for me, that's the big business application of this story in those situations where you've got a problem and people are going, oh, someone else should fix it. You know, someone, and just where you want people to take accountability, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And so it's where you want people to take accountability. So you could start that, you could introduce that by just saying, you know, sometimes we just got to step up and make things happen. Let me give you an example. Harry Potter, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if this is going to happen, we're the ones have to be accountable for making, you know, you could do it like that. Also thinking very, like now stepping back and thinking about things like climate change, right?
Yes.
Because to me, you know, the whole, you know, particularly Australia's approach to climate change is, you know, the project plan is, oh, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do this, you know, we're going to do this NAF thing. And then in 2042, there's going to be a miracle, right? Miracle occurs here and everything's going to be fine. Right. And so I think that story could be a useful illustration that no, we just can't just sit here and wait for some miracle, you know, everything will be fine because some piece of miracle technology will save us.
Right? Exactly.
No, exactly. Let's get off our backsides and step up and do something ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. They're good uses of it. I think you can also use it from the perspective of it's okay to go back in time and screw with the universe because it'll actually have good outcomes. I think, you know, don't listen to Back to the Future. Back to the Future was not the best guide. Harry Potter, much better guide on what can you do.
And in what business context might you do that?
Well, I think that's more of a levity humor context more than anything else. Yeah. A poor attempt at humor. Okay. Well, that's, I think this is a good one. This one says, you know, you can pop in the back pocket. I reckon there's so many, little, you know, sort of movie, you know, the one I've been telling more recently is, Hidden Figures, movie. And I think that's back in a previous episode. We talked about
What's Your Fortran?
What's Your Fortran? And again, you know, you just take a scene or essentially a couple of scenes out of a movie that makes a point. It gets you to watch movies in a slightly different way. Though I've just sort of finished a series on the Mexican drug cartels, Narcos, and I think the main message there is kill thy enemy. So I'm not too sure if I'm, picking the appropriate movie series to draw business points from in that case.
Yeah, that could be a little difficult.
Yeah, it may not be the right message.
What are you going to do, boss? Oh, shoot him. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's give it a rating.
I told the story, so you get to go first with the rating.
Right. Well, I think this is, let me think, in terms of me likely to tell this story, I like the story. I think it's a solid 7.5. How's that for a non-committal score? Oh,
that is totally
score.
Non-committal, Sean. Yeah. For me, it's an 8. I have already told it numerous times. I was at an Air Force reunion last night, and people, what do you do? And I was sharing, and gave that as an example of building rapport and connection, and people going, oh wow, like they were really drawn in. Oh, not
were
drawn
they?
In, but they were going, fascinating. Wow, that is so awesome, right? Because it's fascinating.
Yeah. No, that's good. Terrific. Okay. Well, that's another story for everyone to put in their story bank. Keep an eye on our website. We'll give you any sort of news in terms of new events and things that are coming up. We're in the sort of now the last few weeks racing up to the end of the year. So, that's certainly happening. So I think we'll be closing our office for a couple of weeks. Just before and just after Christmas. Do you remember the exact dates, Mark, on that?
Yeah, we close on the 22nd of December, reopen on the 10th of January.
Right.
And
okay.
And we have just loaded a couple of new Storytelling for Leaders programs early in 2022.
Oh, so good. Right.
They'll be occurring in late January, early February, or starting late January, early February. So if you're interested, then go to the webpage, anecdote.com/events, and all the information will be there.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Anecdotally Speaking. And tune in next week for another show on how to put your stories to work. Bye for now. Anecdotally Speaking was engineered by Dave Stokes from Author to Audio.